We're on the top of Yud-Zayin and Aleph, but just to look at the Pesukim here, it's important to see what's happening in the Pesukim before we start, because the major question that comes up here is what exactly, there's a Tzivui in Pasuk Gimel, the Tzivui is a Kativit Alota Eilu HaKoyin HaSefer U'machal Me'amarim. So you have to write down these curses, and then you have to erase it in the Me'amarim. The question of what qualifies for the curses, I mean, that if you look, it starts from, if you look at Yutet, Pasuk Yutet through Pasuk Chavet, is basically the Allah, Ishbiyata Kohen, right, that the Kohen brings her to swear, and then in Chavet, Omar Marim Ma'ela, Be'im Eichlet, Spot Batim Lapil Yarach, Ma'isha, Me'in Ma'in, that's the Kabbalat, Hashuvah. So now when you go to write down, what do you have to write down? Do you write down the entire parsha from Yutet to Chavet, or do you write only that which is not in the instructive tzivui aspect of it, meaning just literally what is the Allah? So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. We have a Mishnah here, and then we'll have a three-way machlokas in the Gemara about what's the extent of what needs to be written down. So the Mishnah starts on top of Yitzayin Amud Aleph, Baloch lichtovet migidah, mizim makom bukotek. So where does he start with? So it sounds, over here it starts, not mi bi'im lo shechav ish, but rather, it says, im lo shechav ish otach, which if you look in Pasuk Yutet, right, it says, v'shbi otach, v'ein v'mer ishah, and then starting there, im lo shechav ish otach, that's exactly what he's saying to her, so that's the beginning of where we write, ad v'ad kisati tachad ishech, right, and then it continues with the next Pasuk, in Pasuk Chav, right, and he does not write, v'shbi akoin et ishah, which is the introduction to that section in Yutet. He also does not write at the end the acceptance, right, of the Rav Tov Shemotach, right, the Alal Shua, which is then in Pasuk of Aleph. Right, so he skips Vishbiyato Akoinat Isha again, Vishwat Allah, and then Yitena Shemotach Lala, again, that we would include in the Parsha. And Lushwal Bal Mai Mariam Aleba Mayak Litzbon Bada and Binimpol Yarech, Bampil Yarech. Right, so then the end, the parsha ends with Amra Yisha Main Bamein, and that's what the Mishnah says again. But Amra Yisha Main, Be'eno Kote Amra Yisha Main Bamein. So it only takes literally what is the Allah that is given to the one.
What's in quotes, he writes what's in quotes.
Exactly. What's in quotes versus what's the tzivui of the Kohen or the response of the woman that's there. Aviyosi Marloya Mafsik. It says once you start writing, you don't stop. I mean, you write it and you continue. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Atzmo Eino Kotev, Ella, you only write. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda is much more limited. Yitein Hashem Otach Le'Allah U'Lishvu'ah. And then Hashem will make you into an Allah U'Shvu'ah. Well, my Marim Ha'ilu B'Mayech. Right, so then he is very, very limited, which is in Chaf Aleph, starting from the middle of Chaf Aleph, which is the actual curse itself. Right, Vishvah Kohen Tishem Shvat Allah, Vamar Kohen Lisha. Now quote, exactly what he says, Yitein Hashem Otach Le'Allah U'Shvu'ah. Right, so that's the only thing that you write. And now the Gemara is, Ve'enu Kotei Amar Yishah Me'en V'Yamein. And then we'll see, again, the Gemara is going to explain each one of these opinions and why they have this opinion. If you remember from the previous Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda had the opinion that we put in a quarter of a logmayim and not chatzi logmayim. And there the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, who is ma'id by the words, who has the least amount of writing in the Smei Sota, also has the least amount of water in which it's erased. So that's this opinion. Now we see Rabbi Yehuda has the least amount written, and also has the least amount of water. What do they argue about? Bahai karach kamiflige. They argue about the obvious pasuk, which is pasuk of Gimel. Katavet alot ela kohen basefer. Right, so that says that you have to write the alot ela kohen basefer. So now we're going to dissect that. Meir savar alot. What does it mean to write down the alot? Alot mamash. The curses themselves. Ha alot, so then you have a hey in addition to that katav, ha alot, so that's an additional ripui. There are both klalot, ma'abot, machmat bracha. It includes the klalot that come because of the bracha, which is in the beginning. It says, v'yishbi'a kwein otah, in pasuk yutet, v'amar li shem lo sukha v'ish otach, v'im lo satit tuma, tach li shet hinaki, mimear mimear rimayle. That's a positive statement. If you are, there's nothing wrong with you, then these positive things will happen. Mashma, right, an inference, or inference from that would be that if he didn't, then it'd be negative. So ha'alot includes even the positive statements because they can be, from then you can infer something negative. So now, I wrote Kolot Ma'ot Baruch about the Eile. Right, so it's about the Eile, Le Me'ute Kolot Shubi Mishnah Torah. So when it says Ha'alot, Alot means only the Alot found here in Parshat Sotah, and not all the Alot found in Sefer Devarim. And that Eile comes to, the word Alot is not defined here. It says Ha'alot, Alot can be even broader Alot that we see in the Torah, so that comes excluded. So now Ha'eile, which is the Hay, the additional Hay here is the Me'ute Tzava'ot V'Kabalot. Amen. So that excludes, according to Rimir, the Tzava in the beginning, Vishbeha Da'okoin, Vishbeha Kohen, and Be'amra Yisha Amen Be'amen. So that's according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi, what about Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi said before that you write it and you don't stop. So he said, Kubo Kedamar, exactly like you darshan to Rabbi Meir. But et, the addition of the word et here, it says the katova et halot eile, so eight is a riboy, rabot tzavaot v'kabalot, to include the whole thing, including the tzavaot, the command of the kohen, and the kabbalah of the isha. Rabbi Meir, why did Rabbi Meir do that? Etim lo dorish. Rabbi Meir just does not darshan this extra word eight. Now Rabbi Huda has reviewed the darshan, the parsha, or katova. I'm sorry?
General Power of the Mayor.
That's a good question, because Tosfos asked at the beginning over here about the Hey Ayidiyah. Tosfos says that these drushes over here, where we have Hey and the drushes of Hey, seems to be it's inconsistent with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda's positions elsewhere in Shas. But it seems that the Gemara is making is speaking on Mayor's behalf that he would not, in general, have the drush of Et. Rabbi Yehuda Kulo Bibi Ute Darishlo. Rabbi Yehuda says there are no Ribu'im, but each additional letter or each additional word is a mute, an exclusionary. So therefore, ha'alot is alot mamash. Right, that's the curses themselves. Ha'alot, the mute alot about machmot brachot. Ha'alot does not come to be inclusive, the hey, meaning, but rather become exclusive. That you want to exclude those that are the beginning of the parsha, which is talks about if she's innocent, what will happen to her, so we exclude that. Eile, the mute alot of Mishnah Torah. Right, ha'eile, which will be the mute tzavot the kabbalot, to exclude the commands and the acceptance of the So that's why, according to Rabbi Huda, you end up with the smallest amount of people in here. So now it says, Remeir Maishna Hai Hei Dimarabi Bei, or Maishna Ha Hei Dimai Bei. And there were two Heis that he darshaned in the parsha. It says, the Katav et Ha'ala Ha'ele. So he darshaned both of those Heis. But the first Ha'alot, he darshaned to include more stuff. The second Hei Ha'ele, he darshaned to exclude. So which is it? Does Hei include or does Hei exclude? So Maishna says, no. Hey, the gabe ribuye, hey, the gabe miuta, miuti. No, the hey functions with the word that it's attached to. So when you have ha, alot is an inclusive term, therefore the hey will be more inclusive. Ha ele is an exclusive term, so therefore ha ele will be more exclusive, so it's just consistent with the word that the hey is attached to. Now we have the problem with which we have in Rav Meir's position in general, which is Va'alaisle Rav Meir Mefalala Batashumer Hein. And the whole purpose of writing the brachot at the beginning, meaning that which is positive, Imlo Satit, right, Tuma'a, Takhishet, Hinaki, Memer, Marari, Ma'ila, Rav Meir says that's included from Ha'alot. Why is that included from Ha'alot? Because you can infer from the bracha something negative. But we know Rabbi Meir's position throughout Shas is that we don't make those types of inferences, right? You have to have written explicitly what you want because of... Very good, exactly. Rabbi Meir's position by Tznai Gad Ruvain is that you need a Tznai full. Right? You have to explicitly state both sides of the Tznai. So how come Rabbi Meir over here is allowing you to make an inference from the positive statement to the negative? Rabbi says, no problem about that. I'm a Rabbi Tanchum Hinakiktiv. Alright, so when it says the positive statement over here, that's the assumption that what? Right, hinaki, we think from the word naki, you'll be clean. The problem is that the hinaki here is spelled almost like chenki, that you will be choked. Right, so therefore, a darshan over here, Rashi has one interpretation over here, and in the Gemara, in Shavuot, the Edut has actually a different interpretation of what to do. Rashi over here says, well, it says, tuma, instead of reading it, bimlot satit, right, tuma, which would imply that she didn't do anything wrong, right, takhadishik hinaki. Rashi splits the pasuk and says, bimlot satit, as period, comma, tuma takhadishik chinki. If you did something wrong, then you will be chinki, you'll be choked. But that's a less plausible explanation. What the Rashi and Shavuot Eitut say is, that he stops it. He says, "Bimul satit tumat achri shekhinaki." Then he reads it chinki, and then continuing the pasuk afterwards, meaning that mimei amarim areilav atisatit tishekh, you'll be chinki because you did not keep it. Either way, it's not the easiest way to read the pasuk. It's not the simplest way to read the pasuk, but it's the ksiv in the pasuk. Based on that, Rabbi Meir, when you write that pasuk, you're not writing the positive aspect. You're writing something that can be interpreted negatively. That's part of the klala. And therefore, Rabbi Meir writes it not because of its inference, but rather for its interpretation, its literal interpretation, which would be chinki. And so now, the Gemara continues, Darish Rabbi Akiva. So a little gadot about this. Darish Rabbi Akiva, ish v'isha. We have ish v'isha, zachu shechina b'nehem. When there is zochel, the shechina's b'nehem. Well, how does this work? So Rashi points out that their names each have, that the ish and isha have similar letters, and the aleph and the shin. The additional letter between the two names is, in the ish, you have the letter yud, and by the isha, you have the letter hey. Right, so you have yud, so that is the addition of Hashem's name. So when you bring an ish and isha together, you then combine the yud and the hey, and that gives you the same Hashem. Lo zachu, if they're not zocheh, then the shechina is nistalek mehem, leaves them. And when the shechina leaves them, then what? Esho chaltan. They're eaten up by fire, consumed by fire. Why is that? Because you have ish and then isha. So if you take out the yud and you take out the hay from ish and isha, then you have what left with is ish. You're left with fire. Amar Rava, right? With isha, difa mi ish. Right, so that a woman, the fire of the woman is faster to come to consume. By high mitzareh, for high low mitzareh. Right, what does that mean? You look, ish right now, the yud separates between the aleph and the shin by the ish. Whereas by the isha, the ish is already there. The fire is already there. The hay goes away, and so it's already, the fire is already almost in a sense kindled. So you just, the hay goes away and it's there. Whereas the ish, you need, the ish is not existent until the yud leaves. So therefore the Gemara says that the ish comes about because of the, or faster, the punishment or the ish will be apparent faster by a woman. And Rashi says that, what does it mean, zachu, in the Rabbi Akiva statement, zachu, why is it relevant to our Gemara over here? What does it mean, zachu? So Rashi has to read it in to mean that zachu, that they were lelechet b'derech yishara, right, to walk in a proper way, shelo yehe hu noef, lo hi noefet. And what does it mean that zachu? Zachu is if they, right, they have a committed marriage. That, why is it relevant to our whole Gemara over here? What is the shaykhut of zachu over here to the sota? Why is it relevant? It's because it's talking about their faith and their honesty in their marriage, that they don't go off and a commitment to their marriage, that they're not noeif and no effort. So now the Gemara continues, now that Rabbah made a statement over here about the Isha Difa. Now Rabbah, Mipnei Ma'amra Torah, Havei Afar L'Sota. Why does it say, bring Afar L'Sota? Zakhta Yotze Mimena Ben Kavram Avinu. So why, what is Afar? What's the relevance of Afar? Because by Abraham it says, V'anochi Afar Ba'ifer. So therefore, if it's positive, meaning that if she drinks the Meisulta, and the Meisulta, she's innocent, then the bracha will be that she has a son like Avraham Avinu. Lo zachta, she's not zocheh, tachzor lafra, then she will return to the dust of the earth, meaning that's obviously the end of the sota, right, which is, she will die misam and nuvelet from the mei sota. Now, where it continues, Darish Rava, v'schar she'amar Avraham Avinu v'anochi afar v'efer, zachu b'nav l'beit mitzvot. So the fact that Avraham Avinu said, I am like the dust and the ashes of the earth, right, his children got two mitzvot. What are the two mitzvot? Efer para v'afar sota. Right, so the two mitzvot, efer and afar. Efer being ashes goes to efer para, and afar goes to the afar sota. So the Mar says, v'ayikanami afar k'suidam. What about the afar kisudam? Why don't we say that is the mida keneged mida that we got? So where it says, hotam heksha mitzvah ika hana leka. Over there, there's a heksha mitzvah. Here, there is no hana. So you can't look at this as being heksha mitzvah like kola Torah kula, which the simple way we look at heksha mitzvah means that it's not the mitzvah itself, something in preparation for the mitzvah. Because over here, you're actually doing the kisuyadam with the, right, with the with the afar itself. The question over here, and this is interesting, which is the hana leka aspect of it, which is that there is no hana from the mitzvah. What does that mean, there's no hana from the mitzvah? Could you eat the meat without doing kisui adam? The answer is yes. Is there any additional benefit to the mitzvah outside the mitzvah itself? The answer is no. So that's the difference here. These two mitzvot of hefer parah and afar sota have additional benefits, right, beyond the mitzvah itself, plus they are ma'akeh, meaning without them you're going to run into trouble. So let's say, if you look in Rashi, it's important, very interesting Rashi, but also important Rashi. It says over here, what is the hana aspect of these two mitzvot? So he says, hanaleka. If you look in the Rashi, hanaleka is three lines down in the wide lines. Hanaleka, v'enze kibul schar, avakan yish hana b'sota. What's the side benefit of a sota? Take shalom, shalom yibir mam zirim b'yisrael. Right, so that it'll give shalom between the husband and wife.
That's two different things.
Right. And then one, it says, so then now it's take shalom, and also shalom yibir mam zirim b'yisrael in zonahi. Meaning that if she's a zonah, I mean the negative aspect, if she's innocent, then it'll be shalom ben ish l'ishto. If it doesn't work and she's a zonah, then it'll prevent having mamzerim v'imnikta, and also if she's innocent, nisra zera, right? So then it gives her, she has children, the promise is that you have children, it removes any rumors or questions about her children. So I mean, besides the benefit of the mekayim the mitzvah, there are external benefits, which are that, first of all, the husband's allowed to return to his wife, right? That she might have the bracha of nisra zera, again, or if there was a problem, then we'll prevention of mamzerim in Israel. So it's not just the mitzvah itself, but the additional benefits that come with it. And Efer Parah, right, the Taran, the Zechut Yisrael, but Masha Ego. So Rashi says over here by Efer Parah, that's a kapara for the Egel, number one. So therefore, there's additional benefit outside the mitzvah. Number two is that the Tara is Me'akev. So I think the others that want to suggest that the problem is it necessary? Meaning that the Marsha over there says the difference in Ikuv. Meaning that the other mitzvahs prevent you from being able to continue normally. Meaning that if you have, without the afar sota, the husband and wife will be asur to each other. Without the efer chatat, you can't be tahor, you can't do anything. You're stuck being tamei the rest of your life. Without kisui adam, you haven't been the kind of mitzvah, you can eat the meat. Meaning that doesn't have any prevention. And Rashi goes even further to say that there's external benefits to the mitzvah. It's not just you did the mitzvah, you get the schar mitzvah, but beyond the schar mitzvah, there are side benefits to doing these mitzvahs. That's not true by kisui adam, but is true by afar sota. And a fair part. All right, Dorish Robo, Shkash Ramar Marvino, Imichut, Bat Shruch, Nal Zoch, Banav, the base mitzvot. So you have Chut, which is a string, and Shruch, which is like a strap. Right, so now, Zachubar Beisvot, what are those? Chut Shel Techelet, Urzua Shel Tfilin. Chut Techelet, and Urzua Shel Bishlam, Arusua Shel Tfilin. That's as Chut, Techdevra, Ukolome Artski, Shem Hashem, Nikrai Lecha. That all the nations will see that Hashem Hashem is called on you. Right, Vitanya, Velazar Abagal, Ma'il Tfilin, Shibarosh. That refers to Tfilin, Misharosh. And everybody will know that you have the mitzvahs. No. Well, Chut Shel Techelet, might. What's the thing about Chut Shel Techelet? It's obvious that, right, that there's a reward from Hashem. Why was Techelet chosen from any other color? I mean, Techelet domel yam. That's the famous, my famous Gemara Menachos talks about this. That Techelet is domel yam. Yam domel rakia. Rakia domel kisei akavot. Right. So Techelet looks like the ocean. The ocean looks like the rakia, like the sky. Rakia domel kisei hakavot. And the Rakia looks like the Kisei HaKavod. Shne'amar, it says, Ve'yiru et Elokei Yisrael, V'tachat Raglav, K'mashe Lishnot HaSapir, Ech HaSapir Chavdal and Mishpatim, where the Bnei Yisrael are looking and they see that Hashem is, they see Hashem, literally they see Hashem, V'tachat Raglav, K'mashe Lishnot HaSapir, and under his feet are this stone, right, this shining stone. U'ketzim Hashem Ma'im L'Tohar, it says that the sky is clear. U'chtiv, so this is in Yonat Yoma, right, so this is Aftora by Shem. So over here it calls the Shemayim, the Evan, over there it calls Shemayim being the Sapir. Over here it calls the Evan Sapir to Mutzkisei. So therefore you see there's a, you have Shemayim, this Evan Sapir, and the Kisei HaKavod all have a similar look to them. Therefore when you see the sky, it will remind you of the Tzimut Kiseh. Tosus brings down the Yerushalmi that happens adds a little piece in the middle. It says the Yam is Doma La Savim, Va Savim La Arkia. You put something between, because Rashi over here says, it's interesting Rashi also, that he says the Tchilis Lo Dami La Arkia Kolkach.
I was going to ask, if Tchilis is Doma La Yam, the Yam is Doma La Arkia, why does it say the Tchilis is Doma La Arkia?
Exactly. Here goes Rashi, says that. He says Tchilis Lo Dami La Arkia Kolkach. He says Tchilis does not look like the sky, which happens to be a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. What exactly, which sky is it that we're talking about? When we say that the Tchilis is Doma La Arkia, is that the Arkia of the Tohar Yom in the middle of the day? Or is that the sky right before sunset, which is a much darker, right, blue color than the blue that you would see in the center of the day? But Rashi over here says Tchilis does not look like the Arkia. El Adome La Dome. It looks similar to something, meaning that it's a transitive property over here. He says, and because Tchilis is Doma La Maria Yom, it looks a little bit like the ocean. And we see that the ocean looks a little bit like the sky, meaning that the ocean looks blue like the sky because it's reflecting the sky, right? And therefore, if you, through that transitive property, you're able to get from Tcheles to Rakia to the Kisei HaKavod, right? And therefore, the Tcheles is representative of an idea, or at least an ideal, that should call him a Kayem Mitzvah Tzitzit. Rashi says, Ki Ilu Hikbil Pei HaShchinah. It's as if he has, right, he's been Makabel, Pnei Ashkina. That's maybe a possibility of why we added into Kriyat Shema, right, of Kabbalat Olam Malchut Shamayim. Here you have Makabel, Pnei Ashkina, right, someone who accepts and sees the Tzitzit, and also because it's what can I get Koha Mitzvot. So you see that Tzitzit has this aspect of it that is much greater than a single mitzvah, much broader aspects than a single mitzvah, and therefore that's why he was Zochel, this Chut and Shruchnal of Avraham Avinu. But why is this mitzvah more than other mitzvot seen as a reward? So here the Gemara wants to say that it's obvious to others that this is a siman, that the Bnei Yisrael are different than others. So by the tefillin, right, then the people see the tefillin, know that Hashem is with you, Gishem Hashem Nikra Lecha. Same thing with the tchelesh, they will know through the mitzvah of tchelesh that you have some connection to the kisei, quote unquote, kisei kavod, that you have a connection to a Kodesh Baruch. Enu kutev, lo ala luach, velo amiliar, velo la diftera. So when he writes, it says, v'katav et alot eila koin ba sefer. You have to write it in a sefer. So you can't write it on a luach will be like a wooden, some sort of wood, right? Velo amiliar, niyar being paper. Rashi, way Rashi describes paper is that you take asavim, shikotshin, you crush up some sort of vegetation, and then they put it together with glue, and they make it into paper, some sort of paper form. So you can't use that. Velo al diftera, and you can't use diftera. Diftera is a skin or some sort of leather, that a parchment that is not prepared properly, meaning it has been fully prepared, that cannot be used. Ela ala megillah, has to be written on a megillah. Megillah meaning it has to be written on cloth. Right? Shnemar basefer. And sefer, the definition of the word sefer is, right, meaning something that is to be used for sefer, as a proper sefer. You know they use kumus and kantatom. So kumus is some sort of sap from the tree. Kantatom, Rashi writes in many places, is a copper-based ink that does not erase easily. And not anything that leaves an imprint or marking on the paper itself. You know, that you need it to erase completely and not leave a residual marking on the paper. So that's what Rashi says. The problem with kumus and kumkumtum over here is that they both have the erosion. They both leave a marking that does not erase properly. Ella b'dio. If there's dio, Rashi says, what's dio? Like what we have. Shalanu. Shalsarav. Our dio, our ink that we use for writing Sifrei Torah and for writing tefillin, that's what you need to use. You need to use dio and sefer. So you have to use that. Shenemar u'macha, right, tav, sheyacholim hafot, right, that you have to have something that can be erased. So only dio, which is a strong ink that takes to the paper, but is able to be erased, but not something that's so strong or so takes so well to the parchment that it's unable to be erased completely and it leaves a residual marking on the paper. So now, we will, Amar Rava. Megillat Sotah, the Gemara says, Shekadva Balayla, Psula. You write Megillat Sotah at night, it is Pasul, Mai Kaima, Atya Torah Torah. Tibkalcha Basala Koin et Kolatara Azot. Right, that the Koin must perform on her Kolatara Azot. And then we exert Shabbat to the other Torah, Tivatam Alpia Torah, Asher Yerucha. Right, Bala Mishpat. So it says, I'm glad the Torah that we teach you, and mishpat, ma mishpat bayom, af migilat sota bayom, just like mishpat is done during the day, so too, migilah is done during the, migilat sota must be done during the day. Rashi says, what is bayom? How do you know that it means in yom, or mishpat bayom? It says, napkalami hayab bayom hin chilo et banav. So over there, that's talking about that you must have a din during the day, and because the din, hayab bayom hin chilo et banav, right, that is a din during the day, so too, the meitzota is during the day. Tosus says, Rashi, how could it be? The pasuk that the Gemara quotes over here is Alpiyei Torashi Rucha, which is dealing with Eizakein Mamre. And Rashi is pointing a pasuk about Dinei Mamonos. By Dinei Mamonos, it has to be during the day. And here we're talking about a pasuk that's about Dinei Nefashos. So Tosus says, no, you can't learn it from there. You have to learn it from that Dinei Nefashos are done during the day. So he has, what pasuk does, Tosus uses the limud by Mishpat Bayom is by Zaki Mar, because it says, Mehoka Utam Hashem Neged Hashemesh. That Hashem places them up. When you have a din, a beis din, they have to be placed up, Keneged Hashemesh, right? That they were placed. When they were judged, they were stood up against the sun. That means a din only applies when the sun is there. What's the nafkamina between them? The nafkamina between Din and Mamonos and Din and Nefashos is that Din and Nefashos both have to be Tchilat Din and Gemara Din have to be done during the daytime. Both the starting of the din is done during the day, and you have to finish up. If you give Tzak Alokha, Tzak has to be done during the day. As the other hand, a Din and Mamonos, as long as it was started during the day, it can be completed at nighttime. Right? So it can be tchilas adin b'day, but so gemaradin can be at night. So that means nafkamina here, depending where you learn it from. If you learn it from Zayin Apostles, that means that the meisultah that can only be done during the day, means the entire process of sultah must be done during the day. Whereas if you learn like Rashi, that it comes from Dinei Mamonaros, there's a possibility that only tchilas adin sultah must be done during the day, but sultah could be nigmar, right, even yep. At night. Now, the gemara well, continues.
There's a mamonas aspect of sultah, right?
Oh, so it doesn't ask that. What does it mean that there is a mamonos aspect to Tosus?
No, no, no.
Right, so very good. So that's what Tosus asks about Rabbi Meir on the previous stuff. It's not our issue over here, but the Gemara says in other places that Rabbi Meir says that when do we say Mikla Lamatashomei Hain and Hain Lo Tzomei Av? That's only by Dine Mamonos. By Isura, he does not say it. So the Tosus says over here, we're dealing with Isura, we're dealing with Sota. So why are you questioning Rabbi Meir? So he says, no, Sota is Isura Mevili Dei Mamonana. Right, it's Isra that ends up having monetary implications because of the Ksuba. So that we have in other places, that we've seen this Tosus elsewhere in the Dorim, right, by Nedarim, they're going to ask the same question by Rabbi Meir. How come Rabbi Meir, right, the Gemara questions Rabbi Meir's ability to have Lashmei Hain, the Gemara says, Nedarim are Isura. So Nedarim says, no, Nedarim are Isura, maybe Dei Mamona, because you're answering your friend's stuff on you, and your stuff on your friend. So there's a Mamonas aspect to it. So you're right, the same too here with Sota. Sota does have a Mamonas aspect to it, but it's not completely, as I've seen Isura's side to Sota as well. Alright, Kotzva l'mafreya psula. If you write it out of order, meaning you write the parsha, it sounds like if you write the parsha out of order, or you write the curses out of order, then it's that will not work. And over here, it sounds like it won't work in the sense that it means that the Mesotah will not be Bodei cursed. That was what we were talking about before. If he writes the wrong parsha and he writes too much, what's the problem here? The problem is that if you do it wrong, the Mesotah are not Mesotah. If they're not Mesotah, then they don't work. So God will admit prayer, why not? Dichtiv, chattav, et alot eila, reiki dichtiva. As they are written. It says, v'katav, ha'eila, write them like they are. Right? Kotzva, call them shitzkadel ashua, psula. If he writes them on before she accepts the shua, it's also psula, because why it says, first, you have to do the shua, and afterwards, v'katav, which is the only impossible kav gimel. The ketiva is only after the shua has been completed. And therefore, you must do the shua, v'akar kav, v'katav, and then afterwards, write it down. Katva igeret psula. If you write it as a letter, then it is pasul, or besefer, because it says, v'katav alot eilu katim besefer, and not as an igeret. What's the difference between an igeret and a sefer? So Rashi says, it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that's varim tzrichim sirtut. Sirtut, right? You have to put the lines in beforehand, in order that the writing follows the lines. That is a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And therefore, the sefer means a requirement of sirtut, right, and not of simply just writing it down on a Igaret, writing it down as a letter. Katva shnei dapim sula. Right? If he writes it on two dapim, then it's sula. What does it mean two dapim? So Rashi says that like dapim of Sefer Torah, where it's, when you have a dapim of Sefer Torah, we don't write a single column. We write numerous columns of the Sefer Torah on every daf of the Sefer Torah. So you can't write it as two columns. You must write it as a single column. Why? Because it's Sefer Achada Rachu Rachmanu. So it's Sefer, which implies one Sefer, and not multiple Sefer. Lo Shnayim v'Shlosha Svarim. Katav Ot Achat U'Machak Ot Achat. Katav Ochak U'Machak Ot Achat. So instead of writing the whole Parsha and erasing the entire Parsha, he writes a little bit, erases it. Writes the next piece, erases it. That won't work either. Yichtiv Basal Lo HaKohen. It's Kol HaTorah Hazot. The Kohen has to do Kol HaTorah. Kol HaTorah implying everything. I mean, it must be done in one shot. Kol HaTorah is written and then erase. Then that you do write it partially and then erase partially, write it partially and erase it partially. All right, we'll stop here.